Okay, so it looks like this will be our last shear until Yom Tov, because the way it works out this year, next Wednesday is Rosh Hashanah, and then the following Wednesday is Yom Kippur, and then it's going to be Sukkos. Habo aleinu l'tova. So this month of Elul, we were spending time, we were devoting the shiurim towards topics of the Yomim Noiroyim. We talked about Kshuva, different topics. I want to skip a little bit, fast forward ahead, because we're not going to have another opportunity together. By the way, I'm going to be speaking in B'nai Israel on Tuesday night, this the second night of Rosh Hashanah, so I'm looking forward to learning together then. But we're not going to have another opportunity for a shiur, so I figured that we would speak about the mitzvah achila of Erev Yom Kippurim. So everyone knows that before Yom Kippur, the day before Yom Kippur, Erev Yom Kippur, there's a mitzvah to sit down and to eat. Some people follow a minhag that they try to keep a candy in their mouth or to nash all day long to fulfill this mitzvah. The Chazanish actually held that that's not the intent of the halacha. The halacha was to have a formal suda. Some people have two formal sudas. So we'll speak, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll speak a little bit tonight about the sources for this minhag, whether it's a minhag or whether it's a halacha, whether it's a deraisa, and we'll speak about some of the reasons behind this halacha, and then we'll also speak about whether or not the reasons that are stated in the Mefarshim, if they actually impact the halacha or not. So we have the halacha, we have the reasons, and then we'll see if the reasons make a difference on any bottom line. So the Gemara says like this: the Gemara in Yuma, we had it not too long ago in the Daf Yomi, and we have it again coming up in Rosh Hashanah, not too far off. The Gemara records a machlekes. Rabbi Shmuel, moisifin michoel al kodesh minolay. We know that there's a mitzvah to add on. There's a mitzvah to add on to the Shabbos. There's a mitzvah to add on to Yom Kippur. We had it in Maseches Yuma. From where do we know that there's a mitzvah to add on? There's a mitzvah to be mekabel Yom Kippur a few minutes early. There's a mitzvah to be mekabel Shabbos a few minutes early. How do we know? So the Gemara brings Medesanya. We have a brisa. So we know that Yom Kippur is on the 10th of Tishrei. The pasuk says in Parshas Emor, "Ve'inisim es nafshaseichem betisha." It's a very misleading pasuk. The pasuk says, "You shall fast. You shall afflict yourselves on the 9th of Tishrei." Now we know that Yom Kippur is not until the 10th. So the Gemara says, "Yachol tisha." One might think the pasuk means the 9th. We know that Yom Kippur is not until the 10th. Tamal leimar ba'erev. That's why the pasuk immediately clarifies itself that you don't have to start afflicting, you don't have to start fasting until the eve, the night following the 9th day. That's the 10th. Asks the Gemara, "I be'erev." So if the pasuk means to start fasting on the night of the 10th, yochol mishateshach. So one might think that you're allowed to eat all the way until nightfall, and you only have to begin fasting at nightfall. Tamal leimar b'tisha. So that's why the pasuk does say that we have to fast on the 9th. So we have to juggle. On the one hand, the pasuk says you have to fast on the 9th, which is clearly not the halacha. The pasuk says you only have to fast on the 10th, beginning from the eve. So then why does the pasuk say to fast on the 9th? So haketzad, how do we reconcile the psukim? Maschil u'mis'anem b'o'yon. You have to add a little bit, a few moments. It's interesting, the poskim say that it's not really clear how many minutes you have to add for Tosfos Shabbos or Tosfos Yom Kippur. The poskim don't have a definitive amount. It would seem the slightest amount would suffice to fulfill this mitzvah. We learn from here that there's a mitzvah to add on to be mekabel the Yom Tov a few moments before nightfall. Malamed shemosifim michoel al hakodesh. This teaches us there's a mitzvah to add on. I see from here you have to add on in the beginning. We have to be makabel Yom Kippur a few moments early. How do we know that there's a mitzvah to extend Yom Kippur a few moments? The pasuk says from one night to the next, you have to fast on the 10th from the first night until the next night. So we make a hekesh of sorts. We compare the second night with the first night. Just like the first night we just established there's a mitzvah to add on. So too there's a mitzvah to extend on the other side of Yom Kippur, going into the 11th. This teaches us that there's a mitzvah of Toisefes Shabbos and Yom Tov. Now, Rabbi Akiva argues on Rabbi Shmuel, and this coming year is the Shemitah year. Rabbi Akiva says that the source to add on is Shemitah, because there are various psukim regarding the Shemitah where the pasuk says to add on to the Shemitah year. The Shemitah year is a year from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, but there are psukim, there are sources to add on, and we actually extend the Shemitah a little bit into the sixth year, not to plow and things like that. 30 days before, you wouldn't plow certain fields. We just had that in the Sefer Sukkah, that there are exceptions to this rule, but there's a rule not to plow beginning 30 days before. So Rabbi Akiva already has a source that we have to add on to Kedusha. He learns it from Shemitah. So Rabbi Akiva, Haivi Inisim is Nafshaseichem Metisha Mai Avadle. So what does Rabbi Akiva do with the pasuk that Rabbi Shmuel just cited? We already know that you have to add on to Yom Kippur from Shemitah. So the Gemara says, Miboyle lichadatani Chia Barav Midifti. He uses it for what Chia Barav from Difti taught. The Tani Chia Barav Midifti, the Inisim is Nafshaseichem, Bitisha, it should say, that you fast, you should fast on the ninth. So again, the obvious question, Bitisha Misanin, do we fast on the ninth? Asiri Misanin, we fast on the tenth. So Eloi Malacha, it's teaching us something else. Kol ha'oichel v'shoise b'tishi, anyone who eats and drinks on the ninth, mala olav akasav kilu hisane tishi'i va'asiri, it's as if he fasted on the ninth and the tenth. A very cryptic statement, a very mysterious statement. If you eat on the ninth, it's considered as if you fasted on the ninth and on the tenth. So Rashi in various places, Rashi in Yuma, Rashi in Rosh Hashanah. So Rashi in various places explains it a little bit differently. So Rashi in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, so I quoted the Rashi, I cited the Rashi. Rashi says in item Gimel, Achilas Tisha ani koire inui. When the pasuk says to fast on the ninth, where clearly it doesn't mean to fast on the ninth, it doesn't mean you don't have to fast until the beginning of the tenth, the pasuk refers to it as part of the fasting. Bekiven da achilasa inui chashiva. Well, if the Torah considers the eating as if you're fasting, so called the mapish ba'achila ushusia tvei adif. So we derive from there, if the pasuk is treating our eating on the same level as if we're fasting, so then the more we eat, the better. And from here we see that there's a mitzvah, says Rashi, to be mapish ba'achila ushdia, to increase our eating and drinking, to have more than we usually would have. We normally eat breakfast and lunch. Over here, there's a mitzvah to have a more formal suda, because the pasuk refers to it as an inui. The pasuk gives it a status of a mitzvah, and therefore, the more you eat, the better. In other words, there's a mitzvah to have a better suda. The hotikomar be erev, because when the pasuk says in the evening al korchach leimakbara inui deshisha, so clearly you don't have to literally fast on the ninth. Chikari inui betisha. So if the pasuk does refer to it as if you're fasting on the ninth, it must be referring that the achila ushtia didei kari inui, the eating and drink is referred to as an inui. So Rashi says in Rosh Hashanah that the pasuk gives the eating and the drinking on Erev Yom Kippur the same status that it gives the fasting of Yom Kippur itself. So just like you have to fast on Yom Kippur, and it's a mitzvah, we get schar for fasting on Yom Kippur, so too there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, and Rashi says, called the mapish ba'achilu uchesia tvei adif, the more we eat, the better. In other words, we should have a formal suda to fulfill the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur. That's Rashi in Rosh Hashanah. Rashi in Yuma gives us an insight into a possible reason for the mitzvah. Now we know that when the Rishonim give us reasons for the mitzvah, we're to take it as a suggested reason. We can't fathom the reasons for Hashem. These are suggested reasons. Rashi tells us in Yuma, this is what the pasuk is saying. V'inisem betisha, that it's as if you're fasting on the ninth. Klaimar. So here's the Rashi. I bolded the font. Haskein atzmacha betisha. Prepare yourselves on the ninth day. K'dei shetuchal hesanos ba'asara, in order that you shall be able to fast on the tenth day. So Rashi in Rosh Hashanah says, he doesn't give us much of a reason. It would seem to be saying something else. Rashi on Rosh Hashanah says, in Maseches Rosh Hashanah says, that the Torah refers to it as an inui. Just like there's a mitzvah to fast on the 10th, there's a mitzvah to eat on the 9th, and therefore the more you eat, the better. Rashi doesn't give us a reason. He says the eating itself is a mitzvah. Rashi in Yuma gives us an insight. The pasuk is telling us to prepare ourselves on the 9th in order that we shall be able to fast well on the 10th. And clearly that means that we should eat. We shouldn't fast 2 days. We should eat a little bit more. We should prepare ourselves for the fast. It's interesting to note the obvious that Yom Kippur is the only fast day midoraisa, right? There is no other fast day in the Torah. We know we have Tisha B'Av. These are all rabbinic, these fasts. Tisha B'Av is the only, Yom Kippur is the only biblical fast, and the Torah actually says that there's a mitzvah, according to Rashi, to prepare yourself for the fast by eating. It's a mitzvah. It's common sense, but it's also a mitzvah. The Torah gives us a mitzvah that we're doing something positive on the 9th day in order to enable ourselves to fulfill the mitzvah on the 10th day. Okay, so Rashi seems like, at least Rashi and Yuma, seems to say it's a pragmatic mitzvah. The Torah is basically warning us, encouraging us to prepare ourselves to be able to fast the next day. There's a beautiful medrash in a medrash rabbah in Parshas Bereishis, Perek Yud Aleph. It's Simen Dalet. A beautiful medrash. Omar Rav Tanchuma. It's actually difficult Aramaic words, midrashic words. Omar Rav Tanchuma. Rav Tanchuma states the following. He tells us a story. Uvdehavi Beroimi. There was once a story. It once happened in Rome. Ba'aruvas Tzuma Rabba. On the eve of the great Soin, the great fast day, referring to Yom Kippur. Ba'havetuman Chad Chayit. There was a tailor, a simple tailor. Ozil the Yizdavin Lei Chad Nun. He went to buy fish. He went to the market to buy fish. Ishtakach hu vitalia di parchus. So he met up, he found a piece of fish, and he and the young lad, a young attendant of an officer, of the governor. Iparchus is a governor or some officer, some high official. He and the attendant of an officer found the piece of fish. Kaiman aluye, they were both standing over the same fish in the market. Havi hadin masik bebetimi, bahadin masik lebetimi. This seems to mean that they were bargaining over the piece of fish, and they were both trying to outbid one another. Ademati lishneim osir dinarim, until the price of the fish escalated, because the two of them were debating, the two of them were bargaining and auctioning off the fish, so that the price escalated to the astronomical amount of 12 dinarim, which is a huge amount of money. Venazbahu tachita, and the tailor was the one who was willing to pay all that money for this fish. But Ansa Daristun, when they got back to the officer's house, Omar et Parchus Latalia, so the officer said to the attendant, to the young lad, Lama loyasis lun, why didn't you bring me nun? Why didn't you bring me the fish? I sent you off to buy fish. Omar le, so the attendant said to his master, Mari, my master, malich bor minach, I can't deny from you what happened. I have to tell you what happened. Azlis, I went, vayhavitamon el chad nun, there was only one fish. And it was me, it was between me and a Jew. There was a Jew, Chad Yudoy, there was a Jew. Kayam and Aluye, we were standing over this fish. And here's that expression again, that we were both trying to outbid one another. We were haggling over the price. And the Matal is Shneimasar Dinarim, until the price came to the exorbitant amount, the astronomical amount of 12 dinarim. Mahavis boy. So this is what the attendant said to his master, the governor, the official. Mahavis boy. What did you expect? What do you want? The naisi lach nun betray us a dinar, that I should bring you the fish for 12 dinarim. You would think I'm crazy, right? Nobody in their right mind would spend that amount of money for fish. And I just figured, I made the decision myself that you would never allow me, you would never authorize a purchase for fish for 12 dinar. Atama, right? I wonder. Nobody in his right mind would spend that amount. Omer le manhu. So the governor says to his attendant, who is this Jew who is willing to spend so much money for a piece of fish? I have to find out what's going on here. Omer le barnosh plan. It's Pliny, so-and-so. Sholach basrei. So the governor sent, he summoned the Jew. But osu legabei, and the Jew came before the governor. Omer le, ma chomis chayet yudoi da'achlis nun betreyas ardinarin. What does a Jewish tailor, a simple Jewish tailor, see fit to spend 12 dinarim on a fish? Omar Lei, so the Jew says to the governor, Murray, my master, Islon, here's the beautiful medrash, here's the punchline, Islon chad yoim, there's one day, B'kol choivin danan avdin, all the sins that we do, kol yoimei shata, all the days of the year, hu mechaper alinon, on this day Hashem atones for us. Hashem gave us the great gift of Yom Kippur, that all the sins that we do throughout the year, Hashem forgives us on this day. V'kan hu asa, this day is coming. It was Erev Yom Kippur. Les anan tzrichim liakure yase. Don't we need, aren't we required, doesn't it behoove us to honor this day? That's the key. The Medrash says that the reason why he was willing to spend 12 dinarim, an exorbitant price, for this fish was because it was such a simcha, it was such an honor that Hashem gave us the gift of Yom Kippur. It's a day where all the sins of the year are atoned before Hashem, and we have to honor this day. That's why I was willing to, that money is no object. I purchased this fish because I want to honor the day of Yom Kippur. Says the governor. The governor is astounded. Omar, kiven shahavas ra'il edvarecha, because you brought such a proof to your words, you defended your position. You weren't just coming to outbid me because you didn't want me to get the fish. You had such a powerful message, such an important reason to buy the fish. Harei hatopater, you're exempt. And I'm not going to take it as an affront. And you were right for buying the fish. Now, this story, when I read the story in the Medrash, it reminded me of the story of Yosef Moiker Shabbos. We had it in Masechah Shabbos. And that's exactly the same thing happened in this story that the Gemara tells us happened in the story about Yosef, the one who honored the Shabbos. Ma parlei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how did Hashem pay back this chayit, this tailor? Holach v'kara oisa, he went and cut open the fish. V'zimen loy v'soich ha-margolias toiva, and he found a beautiful pearl, a precious stone, in the fish. V'hoye misparnes heimena kol yomav, and this stone was able to support this tailor for the rest of his life. A lifetime contract, because he honored the Yom Kippur. And I guess we can take this as a lifetime contract on life. In other words, he was sustained, he was supported by this mitzvah for the rest of his life. I guess it's safe to assume that he had a good Yom Kippur, a good Rosh Hashanah that year, and he ended up living a long, healthy life, and he had parnasa because of that mitzvah. You see from the Medrash that there's another reason to make a Suda on Erev Yom Kippur. So Rashi says in Rosh Hashanah that it's a mitzvah. The pasuk refers to it as an inui. Therefore, there's a mitzvah to be mapish ba'achila ushtiyah. We should increase. We should make a formal Suda. That's what Rashi says in Rosh Hashanah without telling us a reason. Rashi and Yuma tells us a pragmatic reason, that it's a mitzvah do'iraisa to prepare for the upcoming fast. The Medrash implies another reason, that we want to be mechabed the yom. We want to honor the day. Now, we want to show our simcha that this day, ayom slicha v'kapara al kol avaynoy seinu. This is the mitzvah of the Suda. According to the Medrash, this is another reason behind the mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. Or I should say, maybe this is not the reason behind the mitzvah, but this is something that we would want to do anyway. We want to show honor to the day of Yom Kippur with a Suda, with fish, like a Yom Tov Suda, because we want to show Hashem, we want to demonstrate our simcha, that a day of slicha and kapara over all the averis that we do over the course of the year, we're given the opportunity to purify ourselves before Hashem. Now, I wrote here that this might be the kavanah of Rashi in the Seches Rosh Hashanah, that there's a mitzvah to be marbe be'achila ushtiyah, because we want to show our simcha. So far we have two ideas behind the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur. One is a pragmatic reason to prepare ourselves for the fast. And the second reason is much more than that. It's actually a mitzvah to be koveya a suda, like a Yom Tov suda, in order to honor the day. And that's actually the minhag. The minhag is that we set the table with the Shabbos and Yom Tov finery. We have basically the foods that we have are like a Yom Tov or a Shabbos food. We're not just having a piece of pizza Erev Yom Kippur. We're serving a Shabbos or Yom Tov like suda. Now the truth is that Rabbeinu Yoina in Shari Tshuva Shar Dalid. So this is going to be Sifkat and Ches through Sifkat and Yud. It's a few paragraphs there in the Shari Tshuva. Rabbeinu Yoina wrote a Sefer Shari Tshuva. It speaks primarily about Inyani Tshuva there. So in Shar Dalid he says, if a person violated a negative commandment, the reason why he starts off with a negative commandment is because if we did not fulfill a positive commandment, we don't need Yom Kippur. You can do tshuva on the spot, and then the sin is atoned. A negative commandment is a more severe violation. We require Yom Kippur to atone for the mitzvah leisasin. So says Rabbeinu Yoina, yidag la'avoda. This is the proper attitude towards a sin. A person should worry. He should be preoccupied by the fact that he sinned. V'yachasef, v'yachake, and he should be looking forward to Yom Kippur, says Rabbeinu Yoina. L'man yisratze el Hashem yisbarach, in order to have the opportunity to once again be nisratze, to once again reconnect and to redevelop, to have a ritzoi that I should, to appease HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we should once again restore that relationship that we damaged through the sin. Says the Rabbeinu Yoina, this is a powerful statement, Ritzoinoi, because Hashem's Ratzain, if we have Ratzain, if Hashem desires us, Chaye Nefesh Behaguf, that automatically translates into life for our souls, spiritual life. And if Hashem is happy with us, if Hashem has Ritzoi for us, it automatically translates into life for our guf, v'chayin kol noitzer. And for that matter, says Rabbeinu Yoina, any existing creation, the life of any existing creation, depends solely on the ratzon of Hashem. If we find favor in Hashem's eyes, that automatically translates into chayin nefesh and guf, and that's the source of life for all noitzer. As it says in the pasuk, chayim birtzoinoi, with Hashem's ratzon, brings chayim. The Alkein Omru Rabuseinu Zal, that's why our sages tell us, and here's the Rabbeinu Yoina, Kol HaKoiveya Suda Be'erav Yom Kippurim, anybody who establishes a proper Suda on Erev Yom Kippur, Ki'ilu Nitztavel Anois, it's as if he's commanded, it's as if he fulfilled the mitzvah to fast on the 9th and on the 10th, Be'is'anibahem, and he gets rewarded as if he fulfilled that mitzvah. So imagine if we would have a mitzvah to fast on the 9th and the 10th. I have trouble by the end of Yom Kippur just from fasting on the one day. Imagine if you'd have to fast the 9th and the 10th. So how difficult that would be. Hashem considers, and this is the Gemara we learned together in Yuma and Rosh Hashanah, Hashem considers our eating on the 9th to be as if he commanded us to fast on both days and as if we're fulfilling that tremendous mitzvah. What's the reason behind it? Because you're demonstrating your simcha, that you finally have an opportunity to get a full kapara for all of the violations that we might have committed over the course of the year. The fact that we're having a suda on Erev Yom Kippur is a testimonial over the fact that we were concerned and worried over our sins, and over the fact that we were weary, we had sorrow over the fact that we sinned. So Rabbeinu Yoina says a powerful, powerful thing. The fact that we're having a Suda, Erev Yom Kippur, shows how excited we are at the opportunity. We're not indifferent. The fact that we had a Chet, it means something. It's not nothing. We're not the same way we were before. We understand that we want to have a relationship with Hashem, and we understand that if we committed a chet, it damages that relationship. We're looking forward and we're excited for the opportunity to be able to atone. And we demonstrate that through having a suda. So that's why Hashem considers it such a big mitzvah. This statement of Rabbeinu Yoina reflects the Medrash. This corresponds to the Medrash that we want to honor the day, exactly what the tailor said to the governor. V'hashenis, another reason why we have a Suda Erev Yom Kippur, says Rabbeinu Yoina, Ki b'shar yamim tovim anachnu koivim Suda l'simchas ha-mitzvah. Because we always have a Sudas Yom Tif whenever we have a Simchas ha-mitzvah. So Sukkos is coming in Yitz Hashem. We have the mitzvah of Sukkos. We have the mitzvah of Lulav and Esrei, the Dalet Minim. So Rabbeinu Yoina says something interesting. We're being koveya a Suda to show the Simcha that we have over this mitzvah. Because look how great, how much we amass and how much we're masig, the schar of a mitzvah ala simcha. We actually had it last week in Parshas Kisavoy, that we have to serve Hashem mi simcha mi roiv koil. So when we have a mitzvah, we have to have simcha while we're preparing, while we're performing the mitzvah. So part of having the suda on an ordinary Yom Tov, forget about Yom Kippur, is in order to demonstrate the simcha with all of the mitzvahs that we have the opportunities to do mitzvahs that we have on the Yom Tov. We want to fulfill the pasuk we had last week, that we want to serve Hashem mi-simcha u-mi-roif kol. So the suda is to show the simcha over the mitzvah. Now on Yom Kippur, we obviously can't have a suda. So we have to set up a suda Erev Yom Kippur, and that's the simcha of the mitzvah of Erev Yom Kippur. That's the second reason, similar to the first. The first reason is that we're excited over the opportunity to restore our relationship and to achieve atonement. We understand the damage that we cause with our chatayim. That itself is a powerful statement. The second reason is because we want to demonstrate a simcha over being able to serve Hashem. Every Yom Tov we have a suda, and that adds the simcha component to the fulfillment of the mitzvah. We want to have that on Yom Kippur as well. So that's a good question. We should make a kiddush on Erev Yom Kippur, right? So it's not asur b'malacha. So it's not an actual Yom Tov in that sense. Like, for example, on Purim. On Purim, there's also a mitzvah to have a suda. We don't make kiddush because the day doesn't have kedusha. So we don't have kiddush. But we want to show the simcha of the mitzvah. And the third reason, says Rabbeinu Yoina, similar to Rashi, but it's different. There's a subtle difference. Rashi's reason was we want to be able to fast. Look how Rabbeinu Yoina puts it, leman nechazik, in order that we should have the strength, leharbois tefila v'tachanunim b'yom ha-kippurim, in order to be able to have the strength to daven and to supplicate before Hashem, v'loshis etzis b'nafshenu, in order that we should have the frame of mind to be able to take it to heart and to come up with strategies for tshuva and ikreha, how to be able to make resolutions, how to be able to keep our resolutions. It's similar to Rashi, that we're eating Erev Yom Kippur simply to have strength. Rashi says it should have strength to fast, and Rabbeinu Yoina takes it to the next level, that we should have the strength to fulfill the mitzvahs of the day, to be able to do a proper tefillah and a proper tshuva. Beautiful, beautiful reasons behind the mitzvah. Rashi says it's a mitzvah to have as much of a formal suda. Rashi says we want to prepare ourselves to be able to enable ourselves to fast. Rabbeinu Yoina says we want to demonstrate the simcha over the opportunity to do a proper tshuva and to have a slicha and a kapara. Exactly what the Medrash says. Rabbeinu Yoina says we want to have a suda in honor of Yom Kippur just to add a simcha component to the mitzvah of the tshuva of the day. And finally, we want to have the strength. We want to have the strength to fast the way Rashi says. And Rabbeinu Yoina says we want to have the strength, more importantly, to daven and to be able to do a proper tshuva. So beautiful, beautiful reasons behind the mitzvah of fasting. It's interesting to note in Eidon Zion, the Aruch HaShulchan points out, and this is fascinating, that the Rambam in all of Hilchos Yom Kippur, Hilchos Shvi'is Aser is Hilchos Yom Kippur, the Rambam never mentions this halacha that there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. Fascinating. What happened to the mitzvah of eating Erev Yom Kippur? The Rambam does not mention it. The only time the Rambam ever mentions that there's an idea to have a suda Erev Yom Kippur is in a totally different spot. In Hilchos Shavua and Nedarim, the Rambam says that if a person makes a neder not to eat on a specific day and that day falls out on Erev Yom Kippur, so even though the minig is to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, he can't eat because he's bound by his Shavua or by his neder. So the Rambam mentions it in passing when he's talking about the effect of a neder, that the neder is effective even against eating on Erev Yom Kippur. He says it there in a maramakam. He says it in an abstract maramakam, in a far flung maramakam. But why doesn't the Rambam say outright, point blank, that there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? So the Aruch HaShulchan makes a simple cheshbon. We started off the shir that there's a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva what to do with the fact that the pasuk says fast on the 9th and fast on the 10th. Rabbi Shmuel used the pasuk to say that the pasuk is extending, you have to be makabel Yom Kippur a few moments early into the 9th. And you have to be makabel Yom Kippur a little bit, you have to extend it into the 11th. So the mitzvah of the 9th and the 10th is to extend, to add a few moments to Yom Kippur. Rabbi Akiva was the one who learned that the mitzvah is to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. So, says the Aruch HaShulchan, if you look in the Rambam, how do we know there's a mitzvah to add on to Yom Kippur? The Rambam cites the pasuk of V'inisim esnat shoseichem betisha. He uses the pasuk the way Rabbi Shmuel used the pasuk. We had before, it's a machlekes tanoim, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, what this pasuk is actually saying. So the Rambam,
he uses the pasuk the way Rabbi Shmuel did. So it turns out that the Rambam doesn't have a source from the Torah that there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. The whole source that there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur was this pasuk, Inisim esnat shesechem betisha. According to the Rambam, he uses the pasuk, he sides with Rabbi Shmuel, that the pasuk is telling us something else. The pasuk is telling us you have to add on to Yom Kippur, but not that the whole day of the ninth there's a mitzvah to eat, that the eating is referred to as a fasting. And therefore, says the Aruch HaShulchan, since the Rambam darshins the pasuk the way Rabbi Shmuel did, he is not left with the drasha to teach me that there's a mitzvah to eat. Ulechein hishmita. That's why he left it out. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, the Rambam disagrees with this entire halacha that there's no mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, even though the Rambam leaves it out and he doesn't codify it as a mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah whether it's the Raisa or the Rabbanan, he left it out. Nevertheless, the Rambam does acknowledge that based on the Gemara in the Talmudic sources, there is certainly a minhag to have a Suda on Erev Yom Kippur. It says it in the Medrash. The Medrash says that the Chayit, the tailor, was willing to spend 12 dinarim to buy the fish for Erev Yom Kippur. It's actually brought in Halacha that there's a minhag to have fish Erev Yom Kippur, citing this Medrash. He brings the Gemara in Ksubis. The Gemara in Ksubis tells us the Gemara entertained that whenever Yom Kippur falls out on a Monday, so we know that Yom Kippur can never fall out on a Sunday. We just had this in Sukkah, Mesechah Sukkah, that Yom Kippur can never fall out on a Sunday. They arranged the calendar that Yom Kippur would never fall out on a Sunday. But the Gemara pushes further. Even if Yom Kippur would fall out on a Monday, we still should push it off, because since you're busy preparing for the Suda of Erev Yom Kippur, perhaps you'll be Yishchot Ben Oif. Maybe you'll forget it's Shabbos and you'll shecht a bird and start cooking for the Yom Kippur meal. So the Gemara rejects that concern because the meal doesn't start. The main time to have the meal is the following day, Erev Yom Kippur. That will be Sunday afternoon, Sunday day. So we're not afraid that you're going to shecht on Shabbos because Saturday night, nothing's happening. The meal is not until Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon, but the Gemara definitely implies that there was a minhag to eat and to have chicken, to have oif, to have fowl on Erev Yom Kippur, and the Medrash says that there was a minhag to have fish Erev Yom Kippur. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, the Rambam clearly acknowledges that minhag. The Rambam just leaves it out and doesn't codify it as a halacha, because the Rambam sides with Rabbi Shmuel that the pasuk is used for Tosefes Yom Kippur. It's not free, it's not available to teach us that there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. But the Rambam acknowledges, based on other sources in the Talmud, that there's a minhag to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. So that's a fascinating nuance in this halacha. But so far, at the end of the day, everybody agrees that it's at least a minhag. Now, in halacha, in Shulchan Aruch, Tafresh Dalet, Hilchos Yom Kippur, the Shulchan Aruch does not rule like the Rambam. The Shulchan Aruch paskins mitzvah lechol b'Erev Yom Kippur l'harbis besuda. There's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. He calls it a mitzvah, not like the Aruch HaShulchan's diak in the Rambam. He calls it a mitzvah, and then the Shulchan Aruch also says that there's a mitzvah l'harbis besuda, to increase our suda. That reminds us of the Lashon of Rashi in Meseches Rosh Hashanah. Says the Ramah, it's asur to fast on Erev Yom Kippur, even for a tainis chaloim. Even if a person had a bad dream, we normally don't do this anymore, but there used to be a custom to fast if a person had a bad dream, and there are those who would fast even on Shabbos. On Shabbos they would fast, but on Erev Yom Kippur there's no mitzvah to eat. If I would ever ask you, when is there a mitzvah d'oraisa to eat? So the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah says that eating on Erev Yom Kippur is even more important than eating on Shabbos. Because if the person would be obligated to fast because of a bad dream, the bad dream is bothering him, it's agitating him, that he can fast even on Shabbos. But on Erev Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to fast. There's a mitzvah to eat. The Mishnah Berurah says that it's a mitzvah d'oraisa to eat. Okay. Now, the Magen Avraham over there in Hilchos Yom Kippur about the mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, he brings from the Shalah, and the Magen Avraham bases on this Shalah, when does the mitzvah to eat begin? Does the mitzvah to begin the night of Erev Yom Kippur? So let's say Yom Kippur this year is on a Thursday. right? So that means that on Wednesday, there's a mitzvah to eat. When does the mitzvah to eat begin? Does it begin Tuesday night, like the way we would have a mitzvah to eat on Shabbos, right? Friday night and Shabbos day. Does the mitzvah begin the night before Erev Yom Kippur and continue into the day? Or does the mitzvah begin only the day of Erev Yom Kippur? So the Shalah says like this, it's fascinating. The Shalah is talking about a case where a person made a neder not to eat meat until Erev Yom Kippur. He stated that, not to eat meat until Erev Yom Kippur. So that was his neder. So the Shalah wonders, is he allowed to eat meat the eve of Erev Yom Kippur? Sort of like our question. So the Shalah says it depends on the minhag. And this is fascinating. Our minhag is that we have a very light slichas Erev Yom Kippur. A very, very short slichas Erev Yom Kippur. Some people even make the davening a little bit later. The whole slichas takes under 10 minutes. And it's a very light slichas. We don't say Avinu Malkeinu unless it falls out on a Shabbos. So we say Avinu Malkeinu. Otherwise, we don't even say Avinu Malkeinu. We treat Erev Yom Kippur like a Yom Kippur. So says the Shalah, those places that have the custom that they say a lot of slichas ba'ashmeris in the early hours, the wee hours of the morning. So apparently there are places where people would say like Erev Rosh Hashanah slichas on Erev Yom Kippur. There were places where there was a huge amount of slichas on Erev Yom Kippur. That means that they're not treating it as a yontif until daybreak, because there were places where the minhag was to have a tremendous, like almost like an Erev Rosh Hashanah slichas in the Ashmoiris, in the wee hours of the morning. That means that they're treating the night as not a mitzvah, not a yomtif. The yomtif, so to speak, doesn't start until Erev Yom Kippur. So in those cases, the person, the nighttime, there will be no mitzvah to eat, and this person would not be allowed, he would not be allowed to eat meat. However, says the Shalah, that if the minhag is not to have slichas in the wee hours, the way our minhag is, that we only have tremendous amount of slichas Erev Rosh Hashanah, but we do not do a tremendous amount of slichas Erev Yom Kippur, that means that we treat the night as well as part of the day, and therefore if a person made a neder not to eat meat until Erev Yom Kippur, he'd be allowed to already eat meat the night before, in a place where they don't say the slichas, so he could eat meat at night. In the place where they do say the slichas, then he can't eat meat at night. So the Magen Avraham says that this is two different minhagim, so to speak, whether or not there's a mitzvah to have a suda the night before Erev Yom Kippur. Now, I saw someone say that someone could entertain, maybe it depends on the reasons that we gave for the mitzvah. If the reason why there's a mitzvah to eat Erev Yom Kippur is because you're simply preparing for the fast, the way Rashi and the way the Rabbeinu Yoina said in the third reason, that it's just to enable us to have strength to fast and to have strength to have the tefillas and the supplication. So then there's no reason to make a mitzvah out of eating the night before. It suffices to eat before the fast during the day. But if the reason is because Erev Yom Kippur itself is like a mini yomtif, because we want to show simcha, we make a yomtif out of the day, so someone might argue that there's a mitzvah already to eat the night before. Just like on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we have a mitzvah to eat the night before. So somebody could argue that there will be a mitzvah to eat the night before. The Vilna Gaon proves from the Gemara Iksubis that we mentioned in passing that there was a concern the person would shecht on Shabbos, forgetting that it's Shabbos, in order to prepare for the meal. But the Gemara says there's no concern because he's not anxious. It's not urgent. There's no urgency because he has the whole Saturday night to shech, because the meal is not until Sunday afternoon. So the ikrchi of suda is only during the day. Okay, and that's our minig. The minig is we only treat it as a mitzvah during the day. Rabbi Kiva Eger has a question. Do women have the mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? On the one hand, it's a mitzvah saseh shahazman grama. It's a mitzvah that's time related, and normally women are exempt. Or do we say, similar to what we say about the matzah and the chametz, that just like they are not allowed to eat chametz, they have to eat matzah, it's connected. So maybe someone can say that since they have a mitzvah to fast the next day, they have a mitzvah to eat the day before because it's connected. So Rabbi Kiva Eger leaves this as an open-ended question. It's fascinating. Do women have the mitzvah to eat Erev Yom Kippur? Rabbi Akiva Eiger says he doesn't know the answer. He goes back and forth. It depends on how you look at the mitzvah. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein says that you see from here, you see from this Rabbi Akiva Eiger, that although one of the reasons given is to prepare yourself for the fast, and we know that women are obligated to fast, so naturally we would assume that they have a mitzvah to eat Erev Yom Kippur because one of the reasons given was to prepare for the fast. But you see, says Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, you see from Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and this is what we alluded to in the beginning, that the reasons that we give for mitzvahs are just nice reasons in order that we should be able to connect with the mitzvah. But we don't paskin halacha, we don't darshan time of the krah. We don't paskin halacha based on the reasons that we project into the mitzvah. We have to treat this as a legal case. Do they have a mitzvah to eat Erev Yom Kippur? Now, obviously, common sense would be to eat before because you want to prepare yourself for the fast. But whether or not there's a mitzvah to eat doesn't depend on our common sense. It depends on the regular methods of deciding a halacha. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein points that out from this Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Another question would be, what if somebody knows he's not going to be fasting on Yom Kippur? Maybe he's a choyle sheish by sakana. The doctor said he's not allowed to fast. Would he have a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? So one can argue the same question. If it's a mitzvah, if the reason to eat is to show honor for the day, because we're excited that we're going to have a kapara, then he should eat. If the reason is to prepare himself for the fast, so somebody might argue that there's no mitzvah to eat because I'm not going to be fasting tomorrow anyway. So again, Rav Moshe Feinstein would probably say to this that we don't decide the halacha based on the reasons. The reasons that are given are the reasons that are given. They're inspirational reasons, but we don't decide the halacha based on the reasons. And we would have to approach this with halachic methodology, not just based on reasons. The last, I wrote one line on the next page. If we scroll down to the next page, the Rav Asher Weiss has a beautiful insight. He has a very powerful insight that this question really is a moot point. Because even if a person is a choyle and he has to eat, he's not allowed to eat extra. He's only allowed to eat the minimal amount. Sometimes you have to be careful with the shiurim not to eat more within the 4, 5, or 9 minutes, whatever the time is. Sometimes you're even allowed to eat large amounts at once, but you're not allowed to just eat for enjoyment. So even someone who's not going to be fasting, quote unquote, he's still bound by the laws of the tainus. And anything he eats Erev Yom Kippur might alleviate some of the need to eat on Yom Kippur. So it's not a black or white situation. It's not an all or nothing situation. Everybody, so to speak, is obligated to fast as much as they can on Yom Kippur, even if you're required to eat for medical reasons, but you have to fast as much as you can. So the question is really a moot point because we would have to eat on Erev Yom Kippur regardless in order to enable ourselves to fast as much as we can. Okay, so everybody should have a ksiva and a chasima toiva, a good gebench yor. I love this shir, and learning together is amazing. I'm looking forward to continuing. I'm looking forward to seeing everybody in shul over Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Okay, good night.